Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. And as always, we open with Dear Lord John Coltrane, as that leads us into prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being our God. We thank you, dear Lord, for blessings all undeserved, forthcoming, that have come, and that are happening today. We thank you, dear Lord, that man once said that although we do not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bench. A lady once said, you're God all by yourself. Your will, your way, first and foremost. Thank you for the holiday season. And remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Thank you for Thanksgiving, which every day is Thanksgiving. And we end this in the prayer you taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, hey, early. Doc Stanley move here today. We got a little split show for you today. We're going to be doing this 1 o'clock show. We're going to be live and from the RFK Stadium. In fact, I got the right name. Sea Wings is live at the Jets game in Washington. So we'll be getting him straight from there. We'll be going, talking tonight again, hosting a late-night show with the results from the rest of the football games and the Giants, who played the world champion Green Bay Packers at 4 o'clock today. And we'll be talking some boxing throughout the course of this show and next show. Maybe Harvey Farmer will join us to talk about his book, Fenway Park. And I can't talk about Fenway Park, and I'll talk about Yankee Stadium, and then in lieu of the fact that now we also have Bobby Valentine, who is the new manager of the Boston Red Sox. So with that, we'll be running back and forth. This show will be the longest of the two. And if you say we make it Harvey, it sounds like is that you, C-Wings?
C-Wings checking in.
C-Wings, let's talk to you, baby. What's happening here?
We have the Washington Redskins, the New York Jets deferred the toss. They won the toss. They deferred the kickoff to Washington to receive. Washington, Brandon Banks returned the kick to the 18-yard line. They were first and 10, won 18. They just had a first down. They're moving the ball from left to right here. And we need a stop. The Jets need a 3-and-out. 3-and-out. I mean, you're going up against a 4-and-7 team whose object is to play spoiler. But the Jets, they need this win today. It's a must win. We can't take another loss to a lesser team. In lucky week 13.
Yeah, lucky. Hey, you can't take a loss to any team. And knowing the fact that, I mean, you know, you were there. And then you are there. You did a man, and I got to make a little statement too about my crew in a minute. Pull the tape out. And we can't have another Denver Bronco debacle.
That's a call out of disaster.
That's a nice word. You took it out of the dictionary. That's good.
The dictionary of my brain. I beg your pardon. You know, they tell the story of Miles Davis was having dinner at Bill Cosby's house, and he was saying he wanted some chitlins, but he had made the remark that he didn't think the lovely Camille Cosby's wife could make it, and she, you know, being a soulful, she told Miles, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. Then when he had him done, he's, I know you must not have no hot sauce. You know, I beg. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Depth is the show. And it is a early Sports and Depth. We bring you Sports and Depth 1, Part 1, and Sports and Depth Part 2 later on. We wanted to get on early to bring you some live actuality, our football guru expert. And at this time, again, I want to wish everybody happy holidays. And you know, just redundancy of everybody talking about what I bring to the show. Well, right now everybody is just being quiet and they're listening. I'm saying, you know, this show doesn't exist without the likes of you. And first of all, I'll start with you, Dusty, man. You've made some tremendous adjustments, man, to enhance this show. And, you know, I always like, you know, like last night.
I beg your pardon, adjustment.
And you did last night what you always do with this show. I mean, the stuff that is just unknown, and you know, we broke it here first about Klitschko getting hurt one more time, you know, Lady A, and what you did, you know, you talked about how Cotto's mother didn't want this fight, and then you talked about last night, and we had an affair where Evander Holyfield, Larry Holmes, Carlos Ortiz, Vito Antifermo, Gerry Cooney were at a special talk around, Marvis Frazier, and you know, Holyfield had said that he was sick. He was sick when he fought Lennox Lewis that first time, and he really didn't want the fight. And he said, you know, but he fought sick like that, and he got a draw, which was amazing. And you said, hey, you know what? He wanted to pull out, but they told him he couldn't pull out.
Exactly. It was too much money, too much scheduling, and the whole nine yards. And they said, no, you got to go. You got to go with his. And even then, as sick as he was, he got a draw. So you can imagine if he had not been sick.
Jets just gave up a big play to Tyrant Fred Davis. The Washington Redskins are threatening their first and goal on the Jets, too. So this is... They start off on the wrong foot.
Oh, boy.
I know you're there live, and you said it just gave a big play, but I may be down in South Park. But in the future, try to call us and tell us something that we don't know. But no, seasonally, what has happened to this team? Their hallmark is supposed to be defense. What has happened to the Jets that they're no longer coming up with the big defensive plays?
Well, what happened, I would say two things. Sean Ellis and Damian Woody. The Washington Redskins just scored six. On a rushing touchdown by Roy DeLue. At this point is 6-0 Washington Redskins. I think the Jets have to, especially when they go against teams like this. You win the toss, you put your offense out there. You're saying that you have no confidence in your offense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us what we don't know, St. Williams.
C-Wings, remember? You see, folks, let's go back to Pittsburgh game and the Jets. When he had his defense out there and he let his offense freeze to death for almost a half hour. That's the same defensive mental midget that the coach is. He's a defensive coach, so he wants arms, his defense out there by hook or by crook, and look what happened, 7-0.
Well, you know, let me say this, though, if I may. You can have your defense come out at the coin toss if you win. There's not a problem with that if your defense can stop somebody and get off the field.
Mm-hmm. But they can't stop
them. And that's
but
the
if
problem.
You can,
I mean,
then
if
it's
you
a problem.
If you can, and Rooney's right, if you can't stop them, you not only tie out your defense in the beginning of the game, if you're saying your offense can't hold it down, you're taking your defense out of the game in the first half.
That's exactly what the Giants did to the Buffalo Bills. They destroyed the Bills' defense in that Super Bowl game. These guys are dragging their butts, and that's basically what I say. If you won the toss, go out there with your offense. You might even get a 3, and at least that's a psychological advantage. But now you're down 7-0.
Well, but Dusty, is he telling us, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network show live from RFK? Well, it's not RFK, I'm seeing him anymore. But is he telling us that he has no confidence in Sanchez?
Well, if you want to read it that way, you want to read it that way, you can read it that way, and you're not far from wrong. I am saying that if I win the toss and I get the ball, I'm going to take the ball, and I'm going to take it down as far as I can and wear out their defense.
Right.
Like I said, I may symbolically get a 3, but at least a 3 is better than a 0.
Oh,
and now they're down by 7.
What you're saying, Dusty, either I get nothing, I made you work.
Right.
Yes. And you tie out the defense. You tie the defense out by a long drive. But here,
right.
I think that the turning point in the Jets season was when they lost against the Oakland Raiders. It exposed them to a defense that can no longer or struggles to stop the run.
Exactly.
I mean,
absolutely.
You're going against a 4-17, and you're struggling 7 down already. You couldn't give them 3 and out. If you look at the team like New England Patriots, Belichick, when was the last time when he won the toss, he deferred the ball?
Right.
Oh, see this. How many plays did the Redskins have?
The Redskins won 8 plays, 82 yards, 4 minutes, 39 seconds with a touchdown.
Right. 8 plays?
Roy Halle.
8 plays.
What's the name of that stadium now?
FedEx Stadium.
FedEx Stadium and the Washington Redskins had just FedEx into a touchdown against the Jets.
They threw in, huh?
Oh, that was a good one. A good playoff word, Mr. Stanley.
Ooh.
Wow.
And my sporting philosophy has always been, you know, when I was an amateur wrestler, when I was boxing, my philosophy has always been, much as what C was saying earlier and Dusty, hey, you know something? Stop what I do, okay? If my defense is the best and I win the toss, I'm putting them out. If I think my offense can march up the field and put points on the board ASAP, I'll put them out. My philosophy and
it's amazing that you're saying this, because this was the philosophy as the Packers are playing the Giants today. This was Vince Lombardi's philosophy. I'm going to run the ball through the right side, and if you don't stop it, I'm going to keep running the ball through the right
side.
Doctor,
you stop what I do. I'm not going to worry about what you do. Man.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
The Cleveland Browns is 32. We got Jimmy Brown in backfield. Guess what our next play is going to be?
Run the ball.
Said that the Jets were predictable, and Mark Sanchez was predictable in who was going to throw the ball to. I mean, you have Sean Green playing. I mean, through 13 weeks in the NFL, he's not even at 700 yards yet.
Yep.
What is going on here?
I don't know.
Sean Green has been a little disappointment, and you have to wonder about how much of that. His injuries, but let's listen to Larry Hardesty. He talked, you know, the ESPN sideline reporter for the Jets and the greatest African American sportscast in history of this city, which makes him of the world. And he's also our intro and exit voice here. We talked to Larry last week. Let's talk a little football, Larry. He also talks about the Giants have a huge game today, and let's go again and listen to the greatest African American sportscast in the history of African American radio, the one and only, the legendary Larry Hardesty.
Don't have a Bob Bradshaw. The running game has been suffering without him. You know what? let me just can I take a step back for a second?
Step back.
If I had the Christmas wish, it would be to be Ahmad Bradshaw's agent. He's going to get paid. Okay, you look at how the Giants' running game has suffered since he's been gone. Brandon Jacobs talked a lot, has been unable to produce.
29 yards, Larry.
I didn't want to embarrass him, but you didn't have to give the stats like that. You didn't have to treat him like that. Like, I thought he was a good friend of yours. How do you put the stats out there like that? But anyway, Ahmad Bradshaw, I would like to be his agent because he's going to get paid. But the Giants' inability to run the ball, which makes Eli Manning one-dimensional, and puts a lot of pressure on the Giants' defense to make some plays, and they're out on the field a little bit longer. You know, when you're running the ball and you're moving the clock, you're just marching down the field. Everything is good. When you have to have short plays, look at the Jet defense on the field. Look at the time of possession today. Going into the last drive, Buffalo had over 35 minutes time of possession, the Jets 17. So when you consider that they were able to win this game, it's amazing. Time of possession is a big thing.
What do you say about Sanchez today? His psyche has been thrown around. His confidence has been sort of beaten up. Rex kind of said some positive things. Did he come back to earth in the second half and maybe for his career?
He played better in the second half. There's no question about that. In the fourth quarter, he just does stuff in the fourth quarter. Doc, he's good on drives in the fourth quarter. I don't know what it is. He's throwing the ball all over the place, low in the dirt, high and outside. You just don't know where the ball's going in the fourth quarter. Boom, he hits this one, he hits that one, boom, 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 they march down the field. So, but really, to be honest, when you think about it, the ability to run the ball on the play before the scoring drive, the ability to run the ball, set up the play action, set up little screens and stuff like that, that's what he does best. When he can do the play action, roll out to the left or roll to the right, throw the ball on the move with the running game spelling him, that's when he's at his best. So they were able to do that on the first drive where they took the lead, and then unfortunately special teams and fumbles gave it, and then they had to come back on the drive again. And you know, he puts the fact that he's horrible behind him, his ability to forget bad plays and bounce back from him, it's been tested. He's pretty good.
Now, you know, the genius that he is. Go see Wings.
We have an injury. LT is down off of that
Who's
last
down?
Run. LT looks like he might have hurt his left ankle.
Wow.
That left ankle.
They were depending on him. That was one of the things. In fact, I have an article here. They were talking about how they were, you know, kind of depending on him. Reading yesterday's, I believe it was the New York Post, in the Daily News, Jets run back to Tomlinson. Rex Ryan has reached a two-pronged philosophy to help the Jets find their way during a pivotal five-week stretch that will determine their playoff fate. Number one, run the football. Number two, protect the quarterback. We just listened to Larry, who is just dovetail hyping and the genius that he is, said things about the running game, talked again about, we talked about time of possession, and keeping the defense out on the field. I mean, it's an amazing thing that the Jets were able to win that game last week with as much time as their defense. What it was 3-1 in time possession? I mean, Buffalo had the ball for 30-something minutes, and the Jets had it 17. I mean, if you look at that, that was an amazing performance of four touchdowns. Sanchez, you talked about how much the Giants running game, too, is suffering with Bradshaw out. So everything that we said here, and it's no going conclusion, gentlemen, that you people must be listening to our show. You guys are really funny. And at this time, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel. Sports in Depth is the show. It is a early part one Sports in Depth show today. C-Wings live from FedEx Stadium, and the Washington Redskins are already FedEx in a touchdown. They lead the Jets 7-0. At this time, gentlemen, I was earlier
don't forget to let us in on what's going on with the Sports and Definition Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to get back to you on that, too, Rooney. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I want to know, Mel Cosell, I want to, everybody's talking, and I appreciate the adulations and salutations, but like I said, you know, this crew here, you people have listened to my panel. Am I prejudiced for them? Yes. Do I lean to them? Yes. I don't think there's a better conglomeration of people from an intellectual standpoint of view, and that be not only in their endeavor of sports, but in their lifestyle. Justino Baby Lois, Fire Lieutenant, and basically the co-host here thing, and you know, you made some adjustments, Dusty, and what you bring to the table can't be, it's just insurmountable. I mean, once again, though, you always, you know, for a guy that, you know, made in the third grade, you know, you read everything, and you know, you always got some inside stuff, You know, last night was just the show. You talked about Cotto's mother. You know, and a lot of people didn't know that. And then you talked about
right.
you know, Holyfield. This was the first revelation of Holyfield didn't want to fight the Lennox Lewis fight. And then you
exactly.
talked about the fight that you dovetailed on the fight that they told him he better fight. Rooney, you know, what you do, your side notes, your intellect for the WWF, the Mel Cosell. Ever since I named you that, man, you've been getting everybody help. Well, you're so dark, I think that. You know, and it's always a point well taken. Rooney, you know, you guys always talking about sports. I mean, it was you who coined that great term, sports and definition. The Hoopster, you know, like these other guys. Legendary basketball player, man, from out there in Brownsville, played against the best. I mean, your in-depth insight, the friendship you've made in the business, and what you bring to us, as I mean, people with bated breath have always been listening along, what you bring, especially with the strike. Sea Wings, I mean, you brought Sea Wings into this. There's nobody that knows the football, college or pro, like he does. Sea Wings brought in Lady A, her knowledge, in-depth ability to, I mean, she gets some of the greatest interviews, boxing-wise, football-wise. But and what I'm just saying here is that, you know, love you all deeply, and, you know, this show does not exist without you. All of you are such a very vital and integral part of this show.
Hey, Doc, you forgot one person.
And superstars in your own right. Who's that? Who did I leave out?
You. It was for us. We all got together.
Well,
thank you.
I
appreciate it, baby.
I told Doc earlier, and I know that
so
our panel concurs. Doc, you are the straw that stirs the drink.
Oh, this gentleman, thanks so much. You do as I am somebody, and I just thank the good Lord, man. This is I can't wait for Sunday, with the exception of Dusty. I can't wait for Sunday. because Dusty calls me all week long. Did you get the keys? My computer's down. If your computer's down, buy another one. He finally did buy another one, though, you know. So now we're working on Dusty buying a recorder. That's our next one. You know? Santa Claus is it. But, I mean, and the world hears me, and, you know, you can hear us here. And we're a family. Harold Weston Jr. also, the only African-American matchmaker. Lady A calls him a gangster in a lot of ways. But, you know, this is, you know, but everybody here loves and respects each other. And you know, there's no favoritism. We got opinions. We differ. We interject. But, and you know, and we all good and wonderful things come from God. We're blessed to have a man upstairs like Neil Blake, who's allowed this opportunity to us.
Thank you, Mr. Blake.
And comes in and, Mr. Blake wants perfection, and this is why a lot of times I'm harping on you, but he wants perfection, I want perfection, and you guys are perfection. When we roll, man, there's up and top Lady D, who is the lady that got me and Dusty into this thing way back at SAR FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa. So, gang, I appreciate it all. Love you deeply, but, you know, this is, you know, you cannot hit a Grand Slam home run if there's nobody on base. And, you know, you just can't win the game without a team. I remember Adrian Rodgers last year, you know, after he had won that big football game and the announcer was giving him all these accolades, and he looked at the guy like he's crazy. He said, you know, I've never known one man to win a football game. And that says a hell a lot about him. As a human being, as a player, man, he said, "Hey, you know, I never know one man to win a football game." And maybe outside Jimmy Brown.
Hey, see, Wings, how the Jets doing so far?
The Jets just went forward on 4-1 on the 22-yard line of the Washington Redskins. John Connor punching in for 1 yard, his 1st and 10.
So they threatened to score. They threatened to score. They did score.
So, you can't say threaten. We need a score.
I'm sorry about the score. Well, we need to score.
Much as you were saying, Doc, about a team effort indeed, that is actually what makes this show so great. I mean, like you said, Dusty,
Flag
Wings, and Hoop, and you, and Lady A, total team effort.
Yeah, it's total team effort. And, gang, everything football-wise will be coming from Washington. Sea Wings will need no help. Everything we want football-wise will be coming straight
live.
Well,
come say hello for the president for us also.
Listen, hold on. I already got the president on the line. You know, he just called in. He said, hey, call him back later. He's taking a late nap after breakfast.
But, you're the nucleus that held this together. You made it happen. I mean, you're a great man, great friend. I mean, you're an excellent commentator. Not to take away from any of the TV personalities, but you are second to none.
And I mean, I've always told you this, that I have been flabbergasted and amazed by the history, the commentating, the information that you have, which is priceless. I mean, just to think of the sports paraphernalia that you have, what makes it valuable is the story behind how you got it. I mean, you go to any type of museum, you are aghast when they have maybe a uniform up, maybe a Babe Ruth, and you press the button and it gives you a history, a story behind it. That's what makes it valuable, and I'm glad to have you as a friend, Lady A, your panel here, Hoopster, who made it happen, and I tell you, I'm blessed. Who needs Lotto when you got invaluable friends like yourself?
Ching-ching!
Thanks, Yank. You know, it's just you know, like I said, man, just, you know, all good ones with him, God, him, and I just really appreciate the accolades, gang, and like I said, man, you know, can't do it alone, but appreciate it, love you all deeply and so much, and friends, and we're family, and I just thank you. I mean, when you said about that, and one of the things Susan Mendoza said when she saw my family, as all you know, I'll eventually be moving to Brazil, so the Sports in Depth is go to DocStanleySports.com. You can go online and see that. And you can read some of that. Big C was here the other day. We finally got some pictures in. And we were amazed at some of the things we ran through. I was looking around the other day. I couldn't find it. And there it was, my Satchel Paige autograph. And Susan said it was a thing, Marion Borkin once said, Marion B. Borkin, and the B stands for Black Bodacious Brilliant Brother. He said, you know, Doc, beyond what you have, it's how you've got it. And I'm always amazed today how they want these things where you have to have your stuff validated. And I thought, you know, my press credentials validate, you know, that I've been here. And I remember I talked the other day about the Barry Bonds bat, and I remember I asked Dave Winfield for a pair of spikes, and he gave to him. I remember Doc Gooden. He gave me two pair of spikes. And you talk about Doc Gooden, you're talking about the greatest young pitcher that ever played this game. I remember Ralph kind of told me, and I have an autograph for Ralph, the bat.
Ralph
kind of was the
one-yard run by Sean Green, not to cut you off, one-yard run by Sean Green, and just creating a one-point, extra point, it will be tied at 7-7.
I was in the middle of the story, but I tell you, tell us something that we don't know, and just perfect. Just for the touchdown. Something that we usually don't know. You're right on time.
Wow.
You're right.
Wow.
Now, you know, it's great to hear that. And you know, in fact, you know, talking football, I've got a football bag here. Everybody's autographed that. I got some stuff from Eddie Robinson. And it's like I said, it's the obtaining of the stuff and the stories that go with them. Ozzie Smith, and we're going to move on and get from the Hall of Fame. But I asked Ozzie Smith one time for there's two funny stories of Ozzie Smith. First time I ever met Ozzie, we were in the locker room, we're talking, and I get ready to leave. I said, Ozzie, man, is it possible I could get an autograph back? And Ozzie looked at me. He said, hey, man, ain't no problem. He said, it ain't my stuff. And we became friends, and he always promised me a glove. Ozzie Smith was just is unbelievable. What the greatest defensive shortstop ever played the game was always breaking another glove. You would think that he'd have one particular glove, and he promised me a glove, and he came in the time. I said, Ozzie, did you bring my glove? He said, man, he said, I had that glove for you, and somebody stole that glove, man. You know, he said, but you know, did you bring me any smell good? Glenn Martin, who we say good well to, and once again, birthday wishes to Rooney and Larry Bird, December 7th. He always gave me some nice body oil. And I always would bring some to Ozzie. He said, Ozzie, did you bring me some smell good? I said, yeah. He said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, you know what? The glove I got here I'm playing with, we're going home one Sunday. I'll give you this glove after the game. Ozzie Smith gave me the glove that he played with. And I remember when he went to the Hall of Fame, and they asked him, you know, did he have some of his old gloves? And he said, no. He said, I don't have any gloves. I said, what, Ozzie? He said, nah. And I heard myself. I couldn't listen. Well, Ozzie, you know what? You gave me one. I said, you know, you can have the one you gave me. He said, no, Mel, keep it. No, Mel, keep it, man, you know. And that's just part of it. So we'll get back to the Hall of Fame down the line. But right now I just wanted to say Merry Christmas and say hi to my crew. Last night, big fight. And C-Wings, you know, you just jump in and out here with the 7-7 football game from FedEx Stadium. The Giants will be playing later on against the Green Bay Packers. And in Washington, D.C., the Jets and the Redskins have FedEx in the touchdown to the 7-7 football game live from Washington, D.C. C-Wings, our football resident football guru and genius.
Hey,
go ahead.
Hey, C-Wings, how many plays the Jets had on that drive?
That drive was 17 plays for 74 yards.
17
eight
plays?
9 minutes and 6 seconds.
17
also,
plays?
Yeah, 17 plays.
Yeah, 17 plays.
Yards.
Remember, they were fourth and one, and they got the first down. Remember that.
And also, LT, injured knee. He's most likely not. Uh-oh.
Not coming back.
It's a big run back here on a flip
back.
Reverse. Armstrong.
Okay.
So the Jets, the Washington.
He hurt that. So Thompson hurt that same knee. He hurt before, huh?
Yeah. So he's questionable to return.
Yeah, he ain't coming
probably
back.
Probably won't.
Hey, are we looking at the possibility of him not coming back for the rest of the season, Cedric?
I think that they'll keep him in there. They'll work on that knee, rehab that knee, and try to keep him in for the long stretch. We need him. We need him. I mean, he compliments Sean Green that. The things that Sean Green cannot do. He averages only, about 3.8 yards a carry, Sean Green? So we need that extra body there because he's not that explosive running back that we need.
Well, he runs
also,
more yards than Jacobs.
He's playing perfect.
Everybody runs more yards than Jacobs. What about his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield?
Well, Sean Green can catch the ball in the backfield.
The yardage is a problem with Sean Green. Remember, he hurt his ribs. He got hurt in Denver. And last week, Doc, I brought this up on every snap that he took and carried, he didn't pop right up. He was playing hurt. He was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And
but that's something I alluded to. I said the way he's been performing, he's somewhere along the line. He's not 100%.
I don't know if it's the conditioning or he's just not that explosive running back that we need. Mm. I mean,
you make up a good point. People have forgotten, and we're going to move into NBA now that we're talking about, forgotten that that the guys really didn't get a full preseason regimen to get into shape. But then again, to a certain degree, you would think, and Dusty, this is what guys did in your era. I'm talking back, back in the Stone Ages when they had Fridays. But these are guys who did
football.
But no, seriously, Dusty. You know, guys stayed in some semblance of shape. There was a certain amount of pride. That's just Friday. You had to be ready. Hey, Dusty, man, we got a card next Thursday. Someone's not fighting. Can you fill in? I mean, why are guys out of shape when this is their livelihood, Dusty?
Well, you were there last night. I'm glad because I can segue into what Evander Holyfield said. I think Larry Holmes said it, that the discipline, Marvis Frazier said, the discipline is not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys, I got drafted, man, and I just signed 3.5 mil with a signing bonus, man. I'm good. And they do what they want to do within the scope of the playbook, but they don't go that extra emperor's mile. Have you heard that expression, the emperor's mile? To prepare yourself to be as good as you are and better and for a long period of time. And that's exactly what's happening today. I mean, these guys, in fact, and remember that in those days, the money was bad. And the season was over. You went back and worked behind the counter of your bodega,
mm-hmm.
or did a little farm chores. Or
Dusty, one of the things that was so good about the Milwaukee Braves is that in the off season they usually get jobs as car salesmen and it went to the road. You know,
you didn't have that 24/7, so to speak, year round conditioning and training and discipline. And that's basically what it is today. You make enough money, you say, hey, I'm cool. Some guys, yes, do, are able to afford their own gyms and their own homes, and they have that small nucleus has that discipline to say, hey, let me continue and build myself up. But unfortunately, a lot of them don't. And this segues into boxing. I mean, guys get spoiled by fighting a four-rounder for $6,000. where I fought a four rounder for $75, you know, and I'm lucky if I went home with 35, you know. So hey, I make 6,000 today, and then in 2 weeks I'm fighting again. I make another 6,000, and I just.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Dust, because you as a former gladiator, boxer actually, but as a former fighter yourself, you can appreciate this in panel. I believe that on yesterday's card, I believe, what was it, Brandon Rios, I believe it is?
Yeah,
he lost his title on the scales for failure to make weight.
Well, Coach, cut the believe nonsense. You know full well that you believe. You know full, you're expert that you are. Rooney, it was pathetic. Mel Cosell, he was a guy that talked yang-yang at the press conference.
Yep.
He was a guy that came in as a world champion, and he didn't make the weight, which meant, Mel Cosell, that he lost his. In other words, the only guy that could have won the title was the guy, his opponent.
Yep.
Yeah, he was stripped of it. Yeah.
Yeah, he was stripped, and the stipulation was that if Rios won, it would become a vacant title. But if Murray won, he could take the title back to England. And it was still billed as a championship fight only to favor Murray. But Brandon Rios had no title. You know, and then the funny thing about it is that Brandon Rios wins by knockout, so he is nothing. And Bob Arum said at the press conference he cannot make the weight, so he's going up to 140. That's it. So now the title is vacant, and guess who owns that title? Yeah, Top Rank. But
gives Arum. All the ammunition he needs once again.
Exactly.
The flip flop at the fight. Stick somebody here, stick somebody there. Hey, it's Doc Stanley Sports Network with Blake Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports and Depth. The show, it is a part one Sports and Depth as we doing a New York Jets game live from FedEx Stadium in Washington, D.C. And we'll be back tonight with part two and the rest of the scores and the results from the Jets against the Green Bay Packers. Packers right now undefeated and looking for an undefeated season. The last time they were in New York, they won last year. Against the Jets, and then they went in as a wild card in the playoffs, beat Philadelphia and Philly. The rest, they say, is history as they won the Super Bowl. Let's talk boxing in a minute or two.
Yeah.
I'm looking. We'll do a station break in a little while. We're going to do boxing in a minute or two, as last night was just a huge fight at Madison Square Garden.
Good guy against the bad guy, Doc. Shoot out at the OK Corral.
Yeah. You know, a great line. Good guy against the bad guy, and a tremendous crowd. And you had Gilberto Ortiz. Latin reporter was saying that as a boxing fan. It was a great pay-per-view card. He had 10 fights. He had a whole bunch of 10-rounders. You really finally got the money worth. If not quality-wise, at least in longevity-wise, because the main event didn't come on until midnight, and that made it came on later than that, had Rios not finally stopped his opponent in the 11th round. But from a fan's perspective, it was just fantastic because you finally got a card that you got a whole bunch of fights and you got your money's worth. And here they are. They're all here.
Yeah.
The posse. Doc Stanley Sports Network with the Blake Rainbow Soul the Jail. Sports Network for the show. Dusty, where does Margarito go from here?
Well, there was commentary on the fact that by the second round, you and I were there. Second round, I saw his eye cut. Second round, mind you, his eye cut. It was already becoming a slit. And it seems to me, from a humane position, I would hope that he walks away with his $2.5 million plus the $6 million he made with Pacquiao and go back home. He said, and I quote, he said, no, I'm not retiring. I'm going home, and I'm going to rest up my eyes, and I'm feel that, and I feel good. I can still see, even when the doctors examine me and they have me ask, count the fingers, I could still see. But, you know, that's the game. His good left eye was counting the fingers. It wasn't the bad right eye. And the fact of the matter is that they should not have stopped it. And, you know, something I agree with him, which I didn't, I said, Yes, it's bad, it's a slip, but he wanted one more round. I selfishly wanted that one more round to see what more Cotto will do to him in terms of, but then again, humanely, I said, no, the guy could go blind.
I was with you on that. I was catching you too, but I wanted to see, because as the fight got deeper, Cotto was boxing, probably the best boxing performance I've seen as a pro. Without question. But,
right.
But as you notice, and we talked about it, me, you, and Lady A sitting there, those two or three rounds leading up to that round, he started holding, he started grabbing. He showed signs of being tired, Dusty.
Exactly. See, and I'm saying to myself, to segue into what you just finished saying, first bell and the preceding one, second and third rounds, I said to myself, this guy, this stupid Cotto, you heard me screaming, man. This stupid
Cotto. Spanish,
Cotto,
you said in Spanish. English. One thing about Dusty, I got to give you a bilingual. You said in English, Spanish. You were bilingual.
I was questioning him bilingually, you know. But he was fighting Margarito the same way he fought him in the first fight. I said, you idiot. But the fact of the matter is, that was the best and exact battle plan, not only in this fight last night, but in the first fight to beat
exactly,
a guy
Dusty,
like
because people forget he was winning that first fight the way he won last night's fight.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I'm saying. So then it gives credence, Doc and panel, that maybe yes, if I was 75% suspicious before last night, I'm 95% convinced that, yes, Margarito may have had doctored gloves with Cotto, because as the fight progressed, he was hitting Cotto, and it wasn't hurting Cotto. And Cotto, if you saw his face at the post-fight conference, he may have had a little scratch on his eyebrow or something, but it wasn't as bloated and destroyed as it was in the first fight. And the fact of the matter is that Cotto fought him a perfect fight because Margarito is a flayer. He throws arms, and Cotto tied him up.
Wow, you know, this is exactly what you and Harold Weston said. The way he throws punches, you know, there's no power in him, and the power that he had was amplified by the doctored hands.
Exactly, and he may have heavy hands, but if he's not swinging right, he ain't gonna hurt nobody. But the fact of the matter is that with Cotto,
what do you mean not swinging right? Is there a certain way he has to throw the punch?
Direct, and with a purpose, and with the body behind it. He's just an arm swinger.
Okay.
And this is what he was doing the first fight and the second fight. So, but another thing that also was indicative of how Cotto had improved is the fact that he was smart enough to pull a Boston Tar Baby, Sam Langford, you know, bobbing and weaving out of harm's way. And Margarito couldn't touch him. He spun
Dusty,
around.
Dusty, this Boston Tar Baby, is this a black thing you're throwing in here? What's happening here?
If you read history, Sam Langford was the Boston Tar Baby. a great man. He's the one that, to me, invented the bobbing and weaving. He used to tell
really?
Us, let me segue to this. He would tell you, you see this dime? I'm going to step on this dime, and I want you to throw punches at me, and you're not going to touch me. And sure enough, man, the guy would exhaust himself, give himself pneumonia, swinging and flaying, and he couldn't touch Sam Langford. That's a very interesting thing.
Wasn't Langford the guy that Jack Dempsey wouldn't fight?
Jack Dempsey wouldn't fight Langford. He wouldn't fight any person of color who will make him look bad. And all of them were going to make him look bad. And he drew the color line, especially the unsung heavyweight, Harry Wills. I mean, that was so insulting to segue into that. Every time Harry Wills was at an arena, and I wanted to introduce to you one of the greatest heavyweights, the uncrowned, that was his title, the uncrowned heavyweight champ of the world, Harry Wills. Uncrowned? I mean, come on, don't insult me. But that was the climate of the time, so you had to swallow it.
And the thing about Jack Dempsey, a lot of people talk about how the great fight. You know, Jack Dempsey was heavyweight champ of the world and didn't fight for 3 years. Didn't fight for 3 years.
He was 3 years
heavyweight champ of the world, didn't fight.
For 3 years.
Stanley Sports Network on the plate. Blake Network Radio Show, the Champ Sports Network Show. Let's go back to last night.
Yeah.
Big question I was asking everybody. You know, because Dusty, you know, Dusty had to get a question in. The San Lois Black Stars. Oh, my goodness. But other question they asked everybody, who they thought would win a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. And we're going to listen to some of Evander Holyfield talk about that.
Yeah.
And then,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to move into, I want you to listen to the interview after that. And I think you kind of understand what I'm saying.
I've been having a pretty good year.
It's not kidding. I was going to do that. Yeah, because you know, I was taken back by. You'll hear it, Dusty. It's an interview that I did, and okay. We're going to hear Holyfield first, and then we're going to listen to Jimmy Glenn, renowned trainer, and talking about which will be the last time we'll talk about the subject about the doctor's hands by Margarito. But let's talk to the only man to win heavyweight championship of the world 4 times. Considered one of the greatest heavyweight champions of all time, and still looking for his title shot. The one and only, Evander, the real deal, Holyfield.
Mayweather, you have that ability to turn it on at any given time somebody makes a mistake. So, you know, that's the reason why I watch fights. Because if I don't want to win, I don't want to fight.
Joe Frazier, go. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Network Rainbow Soul, the Channel Sports Network. The show. Last night I gave Marcus Frazier a card. Also gave him a copy, gentlemen, of the show that we had done. You remember we all did that show with Joe back in July,
right.
July 9th being back.
Yeah.
And he wanted to thank everybody here. I just felt that was something that he would like to have. And all of us here from Sports in Depth, I gave him that show from us. And it's something I felt that he should have. And it's our contribution to the memorial of his dad, and also gave him a card from everybody here. So he thanked everybody, and I just thought it was something that a trainer would make. That in fact, we're not even going to expound on that. We're going to move, but I just to say, I know Dusty was cringing when the guy talked about
glad
you. Know,
you read.
I was cringing talking about he's getting his hands wrapped. And he was talking some nonsense about he was probably asleep. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake with another Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network for the show. It's the halfway mark. It's commercial break time. We're going to hit that and come back with the panel, NBA basketball, some NFL live from FedEx Stadium, the New York Jets against the Washington Redskins. C-Wings is there. The Hoops is here with basketball. Mel Cosell is out. Lady A will be with us later on. She was at the fight last night. But right now, it's Sports and Death on the Blake with another Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports and Death with the show. It's a Sunday. the Jets are in Washington, and the Green Bay Packers, the world champion Green Bay Packers, are in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. Gentlemen, gentlemen, hold on.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
They're all here. The crew is all here. And it is a Sports in Depth Part 1. And we've been talking boxing. Football live from FedEx Stadium in Washington, D.C., where our president, Obama, my president, is he finally proud to sing My Country 'Tis of Thee. And Jets and Redskins, 7-7 in the latter stages of the first quarter.
No, 10-7, Doc. Excuse me, 10-7 Redskins.
10-7 Redskins, okay.
Field goal.
We're going to talk some basketball. We're going to talk some more football. And Jets will be the talk of the town if they lose another game to a team that they really should beat. Hoopster, let's go to you now.
All right.
Set up. You were the one who said way back when the lockout came about.
Mm-hmm.
Said there is. First of all, you said there's going to be a lockout. Then you Then you said there may be no NBA basketball. And
right.
Then you said, well, they're making a last-ditch effort, but with the time frame that was left, you said if they do basketball, they'll have to do basketball from December on with a short season. And you were right about that, too. Hope so. What is happening now in the world of basketball?
Well, I got to tell you, there's going to be more games on TV. We got five games. First is with the Knicks and the Celtics, the Lakers and the Bulls, the debut of Mike Brown's coach. And Miami Heat played the Mavericks, and you know the Mavericks will get their championship rings. Also, the Magic will play the Thunder, and the Warriors play the Clippers, the debut coaching of your good friend, Mark Jackson, and my friend, Mark Jackson.
Mark
That's
Jackson.
His first
now,
debut as coach.
Mark is the coach of
the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, you know, people forget. They used to be the Philadelphia Warriors. I mean, people forget that the Philadelphia Warriors left Philly, became the San Francisco Warriors.
That's
and
right.
Then Philly got another franchise that became the Philadelphia 76ers. So the Golden State Warriors are the original Philadelphia team. In fact, that was the team, if I'm correct, that Will Chamberlain was on when he scored the 100 points against the Knicks.
That's correct.
So people forget is that Philly left Philly like the Giants and the Dodgers left New York City.
You know why did Will Chamberlain score 100 points? Because them days, the center was 6'2" with centers.
Well, I mean, the thing about Wilt that night.
Oh, Wilt was great.
Well, the major thing
and he
about
he also
that
made
night,
free throws that night, Doc. He also made a ton of free throws
Mel
that night.
Costell, you're taking the thoughts out of my mind. That night, Wilt Chamberlain made 20 8 free throws. Out of 32, he was 20. I don't think he ever had a better night. 28.
Well, it's his guy, not free throw shooter.
No, here's an interesting fact. Forget about back there. No, we're talking about free throw shooting. Will Chamberlain was horrible is not the word. Let's say super duper horrible free throw shooter. I mean, but this particular night, he made 28 out of 32 free throws. And he said, had the Knicks not defensed him, he'd have scored more than 100 points. Now, here's a fact that a lot of people don't know. Okay, Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blink, Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Network, the show. I'm looking for, you know, I love this music, but I can't find the Cool in the Gang. Maybe I'll see what this sounds like. But this is what a lot of people don't know. There was a time in pro basketball, and people, I mean, free throw line, you know, the reason why you can't go past the free throw line when you shoot a free throw, okay? The reason why that is because at one time, Will Chamberlain used to dunk all his free throws. Chamberlain would stand behind the line, take a running jump, and dunk his free throw. That's when they came up with the thing, they implemented that you can't go past the free throw line when you shoot a foul shot, because Chamberlain used to dunk all his free throws. So the NBA implemented a rule that you can't go past the free throw line when you shoot your shot. So you have to stand behind the free throw line to make your free throw. Will Chamberlain used to dunk all his free throws, and that's why they implemented the rule that you can't go past the free throw line because of Will Chamberlain. The only man to score 100 points in the game, the only man to score, he grabbed 55 rebounds one night against the Boston Celtics, and the year they averaged 50 points a game, he played every minute of every game. In fact, he averaged 48.5 minutes a game. He played every minute, every game, averaged that year 50 points and 20 rebounds.
Doc, let me interject. The Jets just got an interception.
Okay, and give me an update. What's the score?
It's 10-7. Washington.
Okay, how much time we have left in the first half?
8.
We have 8 minutes 38 seconds. But there's a flag.
Okay, gang. Once again, everything we get football wise comes from Sea Wings. Everything we get, scores, everything. He's there. He's a football guy. Appreciate it. Doesn't need help.
But
everything we get football wise, we get from Sea Wings.
Hey,
okay,
Sea Wings. Pittsburgh
just
scored
14. It was just overturned. It was just overturned on the illegal hands against the Jets. It's first down, first and 10. So the interception was negated.
You know, what I don't understand about the Jets stock is why doesn't the great Schottenheimer roll out Sanchez?
Hey, Rudy, Malcolm, so you said the who?
The great Schottenheimer. Offensive coordinator by Exelon.
Oh, yeah. you know, another thing about that, and we talked about that too, is that here's a guy, last night, coming back with the outstanding writer from the Amsterdam News, the astute Jamie Harris, and my good buddies Rudy and Jerome, and we were talking, and you came up, Mel Cosell, and we talked about what a putrid job. Maybe too strong of a word. We've seen.
No, not too strong.
Okay, the Schottenheimer. And we said, you know, Mel Cosell, here's a guy who will wind up as the head coach, and he has so many deficiencies as an offensive coordinator. I mean, you know what I mean? If you can't play left field, why am I putting you in center field? I mean,
that's my problem with Schottenheimer, Doc. That has been my problem with him since he's been the coordinator. That he is trying to get these guys to fit into his offensive scheme instead of tailoring his offense to the talent that he has.
You're right.
Fit into your scheme if they don't have the talent to do certain things. So you have to mold your scheme to fit your talent.
Yeah, 100% right. I mean, okay, if the guy's not a jump shot shooter, well, we clear the area, let him go one-on-one. Yeah, I mean, it's 100% right. Back to basketball, too, real quick. Hoops, let's wrap it up. But what else we got? What should we know here? I mean,
got the exhibition.
I think you told me, too, that the media has been banned in certain aspects of this forthcoming training camp. Is that?
Yes, they have. The practice sessions in Westchester are closed to the media, and coaches, team executives are banned from watching players work out to training camp December 9th.
Hmm.
Yep.
So hold. So training camp starts December 9th?
Yes, sir.
And then the season is going to start on Christmas Day?
Yeah, and also the exhibitions will start the 17th through the 24th.
Hold it. Who's it? They're going to play exhibition games too?
The 7th, 17th through the 24th. Exhibition games.
I heard you, baby. Calm down. Take the face out of your voice. I heard you, baby. Now, the exhibition games, are they a combination, I think, Hoopster, of not only getting the guys in shape, but also pleasing
getting
the fans?
Getting to know their teammates. Yeah, getting to know everybody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How important is that in the game, Hoopster? I mean, you're one of the legendary players that are around, and one of our top players. And I remember Mr. Mickens told you still got to say, how important is that it must be quite important for the chemistry of the team of playing with each other, you know, knowing that Dusty likes to jump shot from about 20 feet out. I can flip the ball to see when she likes to dunk. You'll move out the way for one-on-one for the Hoopster. This is very – it's a combination of being important for not only for getting in shape, but also for chemistry, then you're saying.
That's correct. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. And also, there's more. Another best friend of yours are bidding to try to buy a baseball team. Magic Johnson trying to buy the L.A. Dodgers.
Wow. You know, this is amazing that this guy, you know, and you know the thing about this gang and Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network for the show. The other thing about this is that, you know, it was 20 years ago, and he made the announcement about the AIDS thing, and right away, you know, right away, Mel Cosell, you thought death. Yeah, he's got AIDS. He's not going to be with us long, and here he is, living large there, Mel Cosell.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing, Doc. Absolutely done. You know, I actually had the pleasure of actually kind of seeing him live at one of the larger brokerage firms in the city after that I've walked in, and well, it was good. It was great. And I have to tell you, it seems to be quite an entrepreneur, and that has his fingers in a lot of pies. And more power to him, Doc. You know, I wish more athletes could make the transition from the athletic field to the business field. Now, I wish more athletes could make that transition. I'm not going to say it's been easy. But, you know, a lot of athletes, Doc, only have the idea that, hey, I want to just be, you know, an athlete, that this doll be coming in forever. And, you know, it's kind of refreshing to see an athlete that has business acumen as well as sports acumen.
Hmm. It's rare. I think a lot of that is it was all through God. And could you call his answering machine? Hey, thanks a lot for calling. Leave your number, I'll call you back. God bless you. A lot of that is not only it's the opportunity. I think a lot of us really don't get the opportunity. Irving has had a chance, not only the opportunity, but he's a guy that has comes back to the community. It reminds me a lot of James Brown, who was so not so much dependent, but he had so much, there was so much blackness in James, working in the black community, getting black sponsors, getting black products, and Irving, you know, who has a movie theater up in Harlem, that seemed due to a guy that's been taking the opportunity. He seemed to be respected, but also the opportunity, and it's when we get the chance, that great line that Arthur Ashe once said, you know, we have to be twice as good to get half a chance. And he turned out to be an astute businessman. Your Julius Erving had a partnership in the Coca-Cola bottling in Philadelphia for a while. You know, you hear, you know, it's amazing. You don't hear a lot about us when we're doing well. I remember Bill Vergen, and Dusty, this was like amazing, man, because he done the story of Muhammad Ali, and he ended the story with Ali has been champion 3 times, and guys have never been once, and he's made millions when some have never made any. And I went to the I'll never forget the old press room. Man, Dusty, we missed the old press room last night we saw. And Bill Vergen was sitting there. And I said, Bill, man, that was a really great piece on Ali. And he said, Mel, I said, I've been trying to get that story in for 2 years. He said, you won't believe how hard it was to get that story when it wasn't your typical poor, broke, down on his luck black athlete. And this is Ali.
Wow.
He said, Mel, he said, you know, he said, I've been trying to get that story in for 2 years. He said, you know how hard it was. And I wonder what Bill is, what a great human being he was. And he said, you know, you can't believe how hard it was, Mel, when it wasn't your typical poor, broke, down on his luck black athlete story. And I think about, you know, look at the great Jerry West. Jerry West and Oscar, 1 and 2 draft picks. You know, Oscar has never got a chance to GM. It was Oscar Robertson that implemented the great Oscar Robertson suit that was advantageous to the NBA players today and then. And, you know, the opportunities are just not afforded to us. And, I mean, like, what's the knowledge? I mean, okay, with your knowledge of basketball, Dusty, your knowledge of basketball, Hoopster, knowledge of football and C-Wings, you in boxing and WWF star. Mel, but it's amazing, you know, these opportunities don't come to us. And I've said this for a long time. Where are the black Marv Alberts? Where are the black Howard Cosells? Where are the black Bob Costas? Where are the black Jim Graves? They ain't there. I mean, these guys don't.
Sitting, you know, have you ever read of that book called The Spook Who Sat by the Door?
You know what? It's funny you said that. They used to do the Black Expo here, and my man Lonnie Robinson, I would work down there. We were all active retired police officers, and I met the guy who wrote the book, The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
Oh, there you go.
I think I have a picture. I met the guy who wrote the book, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. There are no spooks here, baby. Doc Stanley, Sports Death, with
sure.
The Rainbow Soul Sports Death, the show. They're all here. The posse's all here. We're talking.
Got more, Spock.
What's that?
So I got more.
Hoopster, just calm down, Hoopster. You know, pass the ball to somebody else, baby. Quit shooting it. Come on, Hoopster.
I'm not shooting. I'm passing the rock. I want to be benched.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the first lady, we're going to get back here with boxing. Go ahead, Hoopster. Give us some more, baby.
You know, Chris Paul wants to go to the Knicks, and Devin Harris, Derrick Williams, they're not showing offer sheets. And I want to come back to it. He want to play for the Knicks.
Really?
That's really, yeah.
Hey, what's the feeling? And the Lady A, could you team up that interview? Because when I come to you, I want to do the interview that Dusty did. So team, get that ready for us when we come back to you.
But I can't. Could we do that later on in the next show? Because I got to get my stuff all ready and.
Okay. So
Hi.
Get ready, girl.
I got up late.
I'm hanging out with Doc
last night. Wait,
Lady A.
Left at the same time. What's wrong with your clock?
Listen, when I come home, I do other things too, all right, gentlemen, all right?
She doesn't use a clock. She uses a sundial. So when the sun went down, that kind of threw her out. You know?
Excuse me, mister. I'm all over the place. You guys don't ever want to go anywhere with this man. He knows the whole world. It's difficult to get him to sit down and even watch a fight.
Well, he's worse than me. You kidding me?
Oh, my God.
So, Lady, hey, what would you say about that fight last night? Do you think Cotto was fighting more out of
revenge? Hold on. Hey, man. You do the football, man. I got this. You know what? Hey, listen. You got no problem bringing that jet game to us, baby. Back off.
The Jets ain't doing too good right now, so.
Hey, Lady A, you just came in. You weren't here, and I just took the time to, you know, everybody's talking about Doc this and Doc that, and you didn't hear it, but I just wanted to say to you, because I said it behind your back, and now I'll say it to your face, what you have brought to Sports in Depth. You know, I did, you know, people, you know, we wouldn't be where we are without all of y'all, and I salute everybody. And what you, I mean, I remember Cedric telling me, Doc, you got to meet Adrian, man. You know, she knows her boxing. You know, and I started talking stuff, and he would say stuff about this and that. You know, and you know, this is a gorgeous lady. This is a gorgeous lady, body wise, everybody, inside and out. And I just can't thank you enough, and just can't express enough to all of you. And you of what you, I mean, this Sports in Depth Nation is not what it is without your insight. I mean, she goes to the press conference. I mean, just a lady. I mean, she's bilingual. The other day she told me somebody, that's Margarito's wife. I know she knows Margarito's wife, Harold Letterman. She knows her guy who's 2-0 on the card. She knows he fought back as an amateur in Puerto Rico in 1963. She knows where the guys lived. She knows everything about these guys. She knows their records. I mean, she is a genius. And then she's sitting there watching the fight. She knows. I mean, so, you know, it's all these parts that you, with your, and you're geniuses. I mean, you, C-Wings with the football. Well, a little psyche with Dusty.
Dusty was watching a fight with me, and we kept the whole fight. There was a gentleman sitting in front of us. I said, Dusty, why doesn't he parrying? Why does he hitting him with the lead right? Dusty, how come? Dusty's sitting there like, I don't know. He can't get off the ropes. Me and Dusty sitting there elbowing each other. It was great yesterday.
And I sat back. She's right. And I sat back. They didn't notice. And I was off to the side, and I was behind them, and I was like, there was somebody. I said, my crew. There was so much pride that I had. I said, look at my crew. That's my crew there. And you could see, you know, they were just head and shoulders. Yeah, you're right. They were smarter. They were more intelligent. They were the best there. They knew what they was talking about. You know, because people kept asking Dusty, no, Reverend, no, he's not doing that. Dusty, go ahead down the corner of the fight. Take the cane, go down into the corner, bring me the second, you know what I mean? And see, and Lady A is doing the same thing, and there was just so much pride and admiration that I have for all of y'all. Love you deeply, and just want to tell you, you know, words cannot convey the gratitude of what you brought to the. I mean, we go to the press conference. She know, hey, Doc, there goes so and so over there. So and so, we get Doc, let's catch so and so. I mean, she knows them all, and they all respect her. You know, Harold. People now, when I go out, they're like, well, where's Lady A? I said, no, could you say hi first, and then we go do that. You know what I mean?
But Lady A, let's tell it like it is, Doc. Not just because of the incredible, unbelievable knowledge that Lady A possesses, but let's face it. The athletes certainly don't mind Lady A putting a microphone in their face.
Oh, and my God,
Booty,
stop,
Booty, you're
God.
Right. I mean, you know, cat, you know, like, they're like, and they're,
stop.
And they're, you're right, you know what I mean? They
take credit where it's due, Lady A. Take credit where it's due, Lady A.
Stop. I mean,
stop
that's right, you don't mind, you know what I mean? Yeah, I tell them right now, every now and then I got to tell them, back off, baby, we're armed, okay? Back off.
But you know what, but also Lady A brings, she brings a woman's aspect. Where, from you know, the knowledge, a woman's aspect, which is very rare, in sports today. I mean, it's obviously a male-dominated field, but to bring that aspect, and like you said, a beautiful woman. I mean,
yeah.
you can't beat it. Beauty
and it's
brain,
good to see her because you know she is a minority, and affirmative action didn't help minorities. It was a white female that got the best of the deal, you know, in affirmative action. And when you say, and I, what I found that females who follow boxing know boxing. The boxing fan is the most intelligent fan in sports, and females who know boxing know their boxing. I was surprised a few years ago, Ernie Banks, the great Ernie Banks, the first black player ever to win back-to-back MVPs, the first shortstop to hit 50 home runs, first ballot Hall of Famer. He told me that he thought that a woman could be a baseball manager because guys, you know, would relate to her. And if anybody could be a baseball manager in any kind of venue, it's definitely Lady A. And, you know, just, once again, and Lady A, you know, like I said, just wanted to say, hey, thank you and God bless you. Thank you so much for all of y'all. And last night's fight, just your assessments, your thoughts. You were there. You and Dusty dijected it. And like I said, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show. And like I said, there's pride here in my crew. You know, and I saw it. You know, I look, but, you know, they're sitting there. And then because they always say, in a conversation, if you're talking with idiot, you have to stop talking with idiot because nobody knows in a conversation which one of y'all is the idiot. So you got to stop. and you listen to them talk, you know, the little subtle things they say, he's not working the body, this and that. Why? And the other people, because there's so many people in this business who don't know anything. There are people in this business, blanquitos, they're there because they have the complexion of the connection. There's so many people in this business that Marion Boykin says, the Marion B. Boykin, black, bodacious, brilliant, and perpetrating a fraud, okay? But when you listen to Lady A, when you listen to Dusty, they're sitting there, and what's amazing is that the people around them are looking at them. The people around them are listening. The people around them are being quiet. And then the people around them, and not everybody's smart to ask Dusty questions, but, you know, they don't know any better. But people are really, on the serious side, they're asking Dusty, what do you think? And Dusty gives a synopsis, not only what he thinks, but why Cotto is winning, or why Margarito is behind, or why Margarito won that round. Lady A2, oh, he's working the body. You're right, Doc, he's getting tired. Oh, he's starting to hole. You know, like I said, I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my friends. But thank God for you. I'm glad you would be. Lady A, we got a good, we got another good 15 minutes here. You were there last night. Magic, Gilberto Ortiz, who's working on boxing out Latin. He said something. He said, you know what? This was the first fight card that he can remember where the fight fan got their money's worth. Okay, the main event started late, but you had a lot of fights. Garden pack. Let's talk about the card. Let's talk about the feeling, the excitement last night, and it was her first fight in the big building too. The new MSG, Lady A, take it away. What do you got to say
about the MSG or the whole entire
everything.
Thing?
Everything.
I was talking to Dusty at the end of the night. You know, we're talking about they were hyped up a lot of the undercard, and that would say out of the whole entire undercard, and Dusty would agree with me. There were really only two fights. The Brandon
right.
Rios fight, he was losing and came back and won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there was a Delvin Rodriguez fight where he fought Pavel Wallach,
right.
And he won. I mean, those two
so
fights
ladies,
to me.
Brandon Lewis, was trailing on the cards in that fight?
Brandon Rios was losing that card. He was losing
exactly.
in that fight. And when you saw John, he was nailing John Merry with shots, but the guy wasn't going away. He was peppering him with shots. But at the end, I think it was five sets of uppercuts at the end that he hit him with that he had his head moving around like a speed bag,
right.
And that's how like he was able to win the fight. But
hey, girl, how far was he behind?
He was fighting. I'd be lucky if he got like three rounds, right, Dusty?
Yep,
three rounds.
He was lucky if he got three. Maybe I call one of the rounds even because they pummeled each other. And I forgot which round. I got to look up my book because I was keeping score last night. And Brandon was about to lose. He was to lose his title symbolically until he got into those body punching uppercuts and the you saw Lady A Murray's face was all busted up, you know.
But let's not forget too. Prior to the fight, he couldn't even make the two pounds to get into weight.
Well, you know what, Lady A, now this is interesting, Dusty. You know, in a case like this, you feel bad, you know, because in lieu of the fact that he had already lost the title, then you kind of wish Murray could have won the darn thing.
And he wins, which gave him an incentive. I think you agree with me, Lady A, that he can move up, like Bob Arum said at the pro fight, that he'll now move up. He will no longer fight as a 35-pounder. He will move up to 140. And if he had won the fight at 135, he would have been hard-pressed to defend his title mandatorily at the same weight. So now he's off the hook, and he's still undefeated.
Yeah, it gives a little more credibility to the fact that, you know, hey, you know, things happen for a reason. It does.
Yeah, but you know,
right.
I forgot, and you just added that, Dusty, and it's really frightening that I continue agreeing with you and saying, yeah, Dusty, you're right. This is really nightmares.
Beg your pardon.
Now, hey, listen, it's still Halloween with you around here, but it's amazing. That you're right, and it's just and we forgot that the pride of winning and despite the fact, I mean, he has been champ, he has remained undefeated. Lady A, go ahead, we'll continue with your segment of thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think that at the end, I think the crescendo, you know, the final crescendo, seeing like at the end of the fight, everybody was already hyped up to waiting the whole evening
mm-hmm.
to
right.
see mm-hmm. to see Cotto and Margarito. And I don't think there was one person in that building that was rooting for Margarito. And if they were, they were quiet. Because
what about the guy with the big hat? Hey, lady, hey, tell me about the guy with the big hat.
Yeah, there was a guy with a huge hat, a huge, like, Mexican hat sitting in the back. And I guess he wore that thing because people were starting to hit him with popcorn and pretzels or whatever. But he was sitting all the way at the end, and me and Dusty were like, what the hell? Look, he's got a Pancho Villa hat. He's got a huge hat. I mean, that thing was so big, it was hitting people in front of him. He was hitting people in front of him with the hat on.
You know what? I had a book that was missing. I know what happened. Dusty probably threw it at him, threw my book at that guy.
Oh, man.
I got to say this about the fighters. All the way down to the end, lady and panel, all the way to the end.
If I may interject, we don't play the bad guy.
Hold on, gang. Hold on. We got to go back to FedEx Stadium. See Wings.
Update the Jets just turned over the ball. Jeremy Curley on a kickoff where he should have called a fair catch.
He got hit.
He fumbled the ball. Washington recovered at the Jets' 18-yard line. So it's going to be first and 10. With 59 seconds left in the first half, first and 10 by Washington Redskins. It's these turnovers.
Special teams have been atrocious this year, C. Wayne.
You're right.
The Jets special teams have been absolutely atrocious.
The Jets special team has been especially bad. That's what they've been lately.
The worst than that. Six fumbles. Number one in fumbles.
Terrible. He should have called a fair catch with that. I mean, it's about a minute left. I mean, you're getting the ball under the 20. Don't make any silly mistakes to turn over the ball right before the second half. You're going.
And give
us
the score.
Update
on the score, C-Wings.
It's 10-10, tied all with the Washington Redskins first and 10 on the 19.
Could we helicopter Dusty down there, let him bust up his knee? At least he could maybe.
It's second and 10. Oh, no. Uh-oh, Fred. Oh, no.
God. What happened to Wings?
It's just he just completed a pass to, what is this? Looks like it's going to be first and 10, Washington.
First and goal,
Washington.
Wow.
How much time and a half?
45 seconds left in the half. On the 7-yard line.
Well, the positive here is that the Jets will get the ball in the second half, and that was working pretty good at a 10-10 score. You keep the score down to 10-10 in your second half, and you get the ball coming. Now, at this rate, worst comes to worst, Washington will get a field goal at least, so the Jets will be down by 3, maybe by 7. And it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but not for the Jets, though. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake. Show live from FedEx Stadium. That's resident football genius and guru. Yeah, Lady A.
You know, it's funny. I don't know. Did you know that that Harold Letterman used to play football at Stuyvesant High School?
No.
What?
Yeah.
These are the things he brings. This is the Dusty in you. My goodness.
Yeah.
Go ahead, girl.
Yeah, he used to play football at Stuyvesant High School. That's what I mean. And it's funny because he's a major Jets fan.
Well, you know, Mark Breland. You know, Mark Breland wanted to be a football player. He said he went to Brooklyn Tech, which means he's a smart kid. He said, I wanted to play football. He said, I didn't want to be no fighter. Hey, he wanted to be a football player.
Right.
Man. John McEnroe said he played football. He said, man, but he looked around, man. He was laying on the ground. People were jumping on top of him. You know what I mean, Max? I don't think it's the team sport I want to be in.
You know, it's good that you should mention Brooklyn Tech because Mike Tyson's older brother Rodney, a friend, used to play football for Brooklyn Tech. And what folks don't know is he's actually bigger, taller, and stronger than Mike. And all the guys would say that if he had been into boxing, he may have been a force to reckon with. But he was around a gentle soul. But he had the size, he had the strength.
Mm-hmm. So, Lady A.
Yeah.
How does the garden look? I heard he fixed it up. How did it look?
You know, I wasn't impressed. I was not. I mean, listen, Doc.
Listen, she's right.
Listen, Doc and I were sitting there because he said, "Oh, it's your first."
Wow.
I know when it, Dusty, how uncomfortable was it? The seats, it's tight up there, right?
Oh my God, I was sitting down and I was crippled. I couldn't get up.
No,
you're not impressed at all,
at all.
The new press room.
Wow.
the new press room, which is named after John Cotton, had lost its ambiance, and I had Jamie Harris liked it. I said, the way the new press room is, you got to go upstairs to eat, and downstairs,
yeah.
no, upstairs to pee, and downstairs to eat. It's
yeah.
horrible. I mean, listen, it took me from the press room to find Lady A and Dusty. It took me a half an hour. Go here,
wow.
go there, up there. It took
exactly.
me a half hour or more.
Okay, let's tell the truth, Doc. We know you probably made pit stops on the way. Oh, Larry Holmes, how you doing? Oh, Jerry, yeah, what's going on? Tell the truth, Doc. Tell the
truth. Yeah, but even with that,
okay.
Take
see, I caught him. All right. The truth comes out.
No, this time I couldn't talk to him, lady. I couldn't find him. I had to come for just, oh, man, I'm lost. Let me get with this. I said, at the rate I was going, I said, the fight will be over by the time I get to Lady A and Dusty.
I wasn't impressed at all, huh?
Sports Def on the Blake. Dr. Terry, Sports Def on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow. So, Channel Sports Def, the show, you're right. It's part one of a special Sports in Depth. We're doing an early show for you live from FedEx Stadium at C-Wing, resident football guru and genius.
Hey, C-Wing, you still there?
Game. It's 10-10. Hoopsta.
Yes.
We're in our last. Okay, we got 11 minutes left here. Real quickly, Hoops. So, who are you picking to win the NBA championship?
Two. Wow. You want the truth?
Hey,
I don't want to say it.
What the truth? I beg your pardon.
Miami Heat.
And who will they play in the finals?
Probably the Lakers.
Again.
Yeah.
You don't like Boston?
Nope.
Boston's an older team.
Yeah, they're older and they're hurting. So again, we're gonna find the Lakers in the finals, and then we'll have Miami.
That's
what
I'm picking.
Your pick.
That's my pick. Yeah. That's what I picked.
All right, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul, the Channel Sports Network show. We are closing down. I got another good 10 minutes left here. Lady A, where does Margarito go from here?
He's done.
No, he's done.
He's washed up. I think he's done. I don't think he has another. I don't think he even has even one more fight in him. I mean, because based on how his eye looked yesterday, I think that they kept monitoring because they were very worried and they knew.
Yeah.
Once their eye closed up, you know what? The guy had surgery. He had. Let me tell you. I don't know if they replaced the cornea, but I know they replaced the lens in his eye. So he's working with another lens in there. I mean, just for him to be able to make the fight and fight the fight he did. And you know what? As much as we sit here and we talk, we find a lot of little things within the fight. Doc, you know, Dusty sat next to me. He was like, oh, you know, Miguel kept patting his back because he has a tattoo of his father on his back. He kept tapping his back in between rounds, you know, kind of saying, Daddy, I know you're with me, you know.
Exactly,
And as much as Cotto put into the fight.
Hold on, stop. See, ladies, this is what they bring to. Did you hear what she just said? There are millions of people who saw that fight left and have no idea.
No clue.
What he was doing.
And that's what I wanted to ask Miguel last night. Remember, Lady A?
Yeah, but they didn't even let us, like, I mean, the press conference was so limited with questions. I mean, only, but still, just getting back to what I was saying, the point I was trying to bring out was the fact that no one's giving Margarito the credit that he deserved. This guy made it to the 11th round with a closed eye, and he still kept coming at Cotto.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. It's not like he looked like he looked when he was fighting Pacquiao. He was semi messed up.
Well, you know,
but he wasn't
the thing that Ray said, Lady A, and we said, and me and Dusty this morning talked a little while, and Mel Cosell. If the eyes not closed, it's an interesting fight because he's steady coming forward. And Miguel was getting tired.
Hold on, Doc. Not even so much he was getting tired, but Dusty and I, and this is why finally getting to sit next to Dusty at a fight was great, okay? Because he kept seeing things and I kept seeing things. Dusty, did you catch the few times Miguel was on the ropes? He had him and he just kept his gloves up and didn't take shots at him. It was like he had the opportunity to really close it out, and he didn't.
We got to close it. We're going to come back this afternoon. We got to roll. And I said it for them on the Blake Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Effort, the show. We got to let it go here. Larry Hart's going to close it out for us. The gang is all here. We'll get you the final score this afternoon from FedEx Stadium. See you later. 88, Dusty, Melco Show. They'll be back tonight. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake, Better Nerd, Rainbow Soul, the other one of the show. Part one, part two tonight. Trust in God.
See you later, God willing. Okay, guys.
See you later.
Later, buddy.
Don't forget to punch the clock early, Lady
This A. Concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Dusty? Dusty, you still there?
Yes.
Yeah, listen, we're doing that show tonight. We think maybe for the second show you ought to go to the Latin Grammys.
Okay. Okay, I got my ticket.
Okay, we're back tonight.
Okay,
trust
the
guy.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, before you go, I just wanted to say, man, Cotto played his role and suited Margarito to the hill. Margarito played the bad guy to the hill. Tough guy, the bad guy, wore the black hat on him and all of this fight stuff. So, hey.
10-4.
And in the good guy
okay.
wins.
Got you. Okay.
Ten four gang.